Hello and welcome to another live session, Data for Subscription session. I'm your host, Pierre Adbonian, and our purpose, as always, with these podcasts is to talk about subscriptions, how we run them in a better way, and run better businesses. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Mauro Bartoletti to the show, who comes with a vast experience of running subscription and digital services. Mauro, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bedat, and good afternoon, everybody. Great pleasure being here, and hopefully to provide good contents for today. Talking about subscription is always a pleasure. Thanks
for today. This episode, as we have said in the title, is to talk about requirements on the billing environment when we shift from product sales to running subscriptions or as a service businesses. And we'll do that from a holistic perspective. We'll not just speak about the billing environment itself. Of course, it's at the centerpiece in some form or shape. But before we get into the details of things, Mauro, why don't we allow yourself to introduce yourself a little bit more? How has your journey working with subscription as a services business look like? What brought you here today?
That's a quite long story, I would say. So I've always been involved in innovation matters, and in the company I was working in the past, we had a challenge, and we wanted to enhance our business model, and we ended that the right solution was the introduction of a subscription proposition. So I've been looking after the entire journey from defining the strategy down to implementing the infrastructure to run it, learning a lot, doing mistakes, making pilots, understanding how the market react differently according to the country or to the maturity, and learning by the journey. So I've been in subscription for a few years now, and developing an understanding from the end to end, from acquisition down to the management. So that's, I would say, in extreme summary.
Great. Let's dive right in then. In your view, is there a difference when we look at billing from a product sales to subscription model?
Absolutely, yes. So despite they have a lot in common, as you can and everybody can understand, but we need to basically understand the biggest difference is related to the timing. So when you are in the product standard selling phase, you have a strict connection between the cause and the effect. You have an order, and the order might be after a long story, your pipeline development, blah, blah, blah. But at a certain point, you get an order, and no matter what is the length of your payment term, that order will generate your invoice. So your billing cycle is very much restricted in, I would say, in a spike. You have an event, then you manage the ending of the event. When you are in subscription or contractual business, the story is different because your spike, your trigger rather than the spike, generates something that prolongs as much as possible. And this is basically the challenge to keep as much as possible. But you need to be able to introduce recurrency. That's the fundamental difference. When we are talking about subscription, we need to have in mind that we need to be able to handle the recurrency. Whatever is the frequency, could be weekly, could be monthly, could be yearly, quarterly, right. But you need to be able to know that every time, given the service, to keep it simple, you need to issue and handle your billing cycle. And this has to be automated. It's not just a matter of efficiency to make it automated, but you need to be able to scale it up. So if you generate to handle this automation, you generate overhead for your admin, then you know that you have a cap because you cannot scale the system up to the millions where most of subscription for large organizations want to end. So to get back to your question, are there differences? Many. There are elements that are coming together that are similar, but you need to keep in mind that on one end you have spikes, on the other, you are instead like a curve that up and down, but every time, according to your frequency, comes back and has to be automated. And that's what your billing system should be able to do.
Yeah.
Make sense?
In your, Absolutely. In your experience, Mauro, when you have transitioned from product to subscription model, what are the initial steps we need to think about? How would you line them up?
Well, Beda, this is a quite big question. So when we restrict to billing, because otherwise we would be in a wider, and you need to consider the wide. Anyway, it's very important that you have very clear in mind what is your proposition, because the billing might just be considered like the moment you issue an invoice, but as a matter of fact, is a strategic moment that you need to be able to handle correctly. So going back to your point, when you think I want to introduce, coming from a situation where I'm already established as an organization, I'm already capable to sell, I'm already capable to manage my order to cash processes. When you want to match the shift or the add-on to your business model, you need to have very clear what is your landing point, because your landing point will have, and when I talk about landing point, I'm not talking about the billing landing point. I'm talking about your proposition landing point, because the way you want to generate value, the way your value proposition goes to the market, will be affecting your billing strategy. Let me give you an example. So if you are addressing B2C or B2B, it's something you need to understand earlier, because the way then you need to structure yourself is different. VAT in Europe regulation is different for B2C and B2B. You need to bear in mind. If your proposition is pay as you go, flat rate, or is priced by tiers, or is pay per usage, it's something that you need to know, because then your capability to access data, structure data, and then use data to manage your billing process is different. If you're going down the country you want to be targeting, might have different reaction to different payment moment, because one side of the moon is the billing, but the other side of the moon is the collection that you need to be handled, and the capability of your billing system to handle different payment gateways will influence the experience to your user that you need to consider upfront. Otherwise, you might have started an infrastructure journey that then is not compliant with your strategy. So to get back to your question, Beda, is there something that you need to consider upfront when you decide your strategy? As much as possible, my answer is, because in order to design your billing system, you have to be clear the market you want to go, the proposition you want to have, the pricing strategy you want to manage, in order then to decide what is your rollout plan. Maybe you can accept the idea that you scale it up after you went live, but if you aren't prepared, you might be in serious problems, because then your commercial expectations might not be supported by the infrastructure you put in place.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. My next question, though, to connect the first and the second one, because we started by discussing the difference in billing when it comes to product to subscription, and then what will be the first initial steps. Now, let's connect that and think about what very practically are the requirements and impacts for one's billing system with everything we've discussed. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think something that I hear you talk quite a lot about is that the billing system needs to be very flexible and agile so that it can serve your value proposition. Is that clearly understood?
Absolutely, embedded. And you need to also consider that the speed on how market are changing in terms of expectations, in terms of reactiveness to the market by your customers is quite intense. So if you are not flexible enough, you might find yourself just running behind. So if you look at the stats, more and more payments mechanisms like PayPal is getting more and more and even more popular. But if you look at how many are capable to handle PayPal, it's still not a great majority. So unless you are able to fill the gap, you might have a trouble. One of the other elements that is happening in the market is that in a certain period of time, you need to be in promotion or you need to introduce new concept. But if your billing system is not capable to handle it, you are in trouble. It's not just a matter that the marketing is not creative enough. Sometimes you need to be able to sustain. Let me give an example. If you want to give a free trial, your system has to be able to understand that a customer is on free trial. There is nothing more than annoying a customer being promised not to pay and then have an odd invoice to come in. Another element which is quite popular, that it's not directly in the mindset when you start thinking what I need for issuing an invoice, but it's getting more and more popular, is the possibility to put a subscription on pause. So I simply go on holiday, particularly in the consumer market, and I don't want to unsubscribe, and the company shouldn't have an interest for you to unsubscribe, but still I'm not using the service. Why should I pay for that? Your billing system have to be able to offer that option as well. So the flexibility and the logic of Agile, you know, one of the major Bible on subscription, I would say, it's one of the first book ever written about subscription, is the Subscribe by the founder of Zora. It introduced the concept of be always in beta, meaning don't consider whatever is your platform. And platform doesn't mean just front end. It's front end, back end, including billing system. You always need to be in the mindset that what you achieve today, it's not the final. Has to be the logic of beta, listen to your customer, challenge yourself, move to the next challenge, and update, change. So the Agile concept is absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
So Vedat, use the words, I told 3-4 minutes, but the concept are the same.
I want to dig a little bit deeper in the speed, flexibility, agility, because this is something that we hear a lot in our industry. And I want to tap into your experience and be very concrete on what that actually means for you. Like, what's the currency of speed here? Because, and I'll just to kind of get the conversation going, I say like this, that in my experience, when I speak with different practitioners of subscription business, literally what they're talking about is that I might need to do changes several times a day. It might be within hours if I need to make adjustments. Now, every adjustment doesn't mean introduce a new campaign, but I need to maybe make micro adjustments to pricing and so on. While in reality, some people are dealing with maybe days and weeks in terms of making adjustments and changes. Now, my question back to you, when you speak about speed, flexibility, agility, give us an example of how and what that looks like for you.
Okay. Personally, I don't like the concept of daily, particularly when we talk about pricing. I think that it's important that a value proposition is stable, understood, and reliable for consumers. I don't like to generate in your customers, the most loyal, the feeling that they have been not doing it right, or that they are talking to you like in the stock market, that you need like a trading exercise to understand what is the right time. So I like very much that a proposition is clear and stable. So the flexibility I'm referring is to reflect not just on pricing, but on the type of service you introduce, the type of response to market trends, the type of feature you offer. Because more and more, I think the challenge is to be able to expand the value that you are giving your customers. So you have a core proposition, but if the core proposition doesn't change, you might get in trouble, because the perception might be that the customer might be paying too much or might forget the reason why he or she subscribed. So the flexibility I have in mind is that if you want to introduce an additional service, an additional feature, a premium functionality, your platform have to be able to introduce quickly, not to enter in a 2 years project to make it happen. And this is not just a flexibility that you need to achieve technically. Is also the organizational readiness to understand that this business flies fast. So I was not referring to the need to change pricing or to be able to manipulate your proposition over the fly. Some business does. I'm not my favorite type of proposition, but just to have the capability and the agility in your organization to be ready mentally to accept the always in beta type of concept, but also then have a platform that have that extension of flexibility. So this means that your IT have to be owning and having the capacity to address. But that one of the things that I liked very much in the literature, in the readings, is in the story of Netflix. That was one of the, pioneer in the agility and in subscription. And one of the elements that surprised me and I liked very much was the idea that developers had the possibility, if they had an idea, to implement without having heavy testing, acceptance processes, but with a strong commitment to fix if it didn't work. So that's the type of agility I like, is to have the mindset to be ready to go towards the change, taking some risk, but then having a strong responsibility within the organization to get back if it doesn't work. But ultimately, we need to be as close as possible to the customers. If they change, we need to change accordingly.
Yeah. It's really interesting that you bring up Netflix. So I'm going to save that one when we get further down our dialogue today, when we speak customer insights, usage, and data management. And we'll come back to Netflix. I'm going to make a note of that. And
okay.
I have an angle to offer back to you to get your opinion. Okay. You offered up a segue to speak a bit more about the technical side of when we make, you know, investments for a subscription billing system. Can you talk to us about, from a technical aspect, in addition to the capabilities, what we should be thinking about?
Well, there are, again, many, many aspects, but this really depends on what you want to do. So what is your proposition? So if you are if you're starting from scratch, it's much simpler because you don't have an history. Probably you don't even have a customer base to think about. And you also have a much simpler business model. If you are in the B2B, most likely you have a long cycle to handle. So probably the first thing that comes up on my mind is you need to integrate with your CRM. You have a pipeline management most likely and all there. And then you cannot stop the journey and then say, guys, this is a pile of paper. Now, please load this contract into the system. Again, you can do it, but then scale it up might be challenging. So first point first, it really depends on your proposition, where you are. The second aspect is related to data. When we are talking about the billing, it's an amazing touch point as well, Bedad. Every single month, you are in touch with your customer. And if you send always the same type of communication, of course, it's boring and it's a missed opportunity. But this could also go back to the engagement with your customer. You can make consideration about the usage. You can deliver value, more value proposition to remind the customers that probably is not using much of your service, or he might scale up because he's paying overage, or she might scale down because he's wasting money, because he's not using as much as possible. So in that sense, the technicality is quite important. Again, it really depends on what you have in mind. Nowadays, I would say anyway that you need to make two calls at least. All of them related to the need of efficiency. So the world is moving fast, artificial intelligence, machine learning, competitors are effective, you cannot be always clunky. You might start, but at a certain point you need to move out of the compromise. And in that sense, if you well design a good integration, you start identifying your data and structure your data correctly, you can then leverage several aspects technically that can help you in engaging with your customers. So if you build correctly your data set, if you understand that you can create your machine learning paths and understand usage, churn rate, paths, you can develop technically aspects that are not strictly necessary to launch a proposition, but they would be fundamental to offer the proper customer experience. Because at the end of the day, I think the challenge is not to introduce a different pricing mechanism to access a product, but I think that the secret that everybody knows on subscription to be achieved is to offer a totally different experience to engage with a customer. And this means that you need to technically understand upfront what you need, Because if you don't design correctly, certain aspects might not be then enabled later in the route. So you might have a strategy that scales certain things up and your roadmap is not coming like a big bang. Otherwise, we would not go in line to what we said before about the agility, the agile concept. But you need to have very clear your design up front and then make it your roadmap. But the way you design up front have a big impact on what you do later on. Unless you make a different choice, which is to go out in the market and rather than building your infrastructure is to use one of the platforms that are available that are doing already a lot of that and you have much less concerns, I would say, with some limit as everything. Yeah. So I'm not sure if this is the point that you wanted to cover. If there is anything else, please better ask me.
No, absolutely. I think we're gonna dig a little bit deeper into the data aspects. I think you mentioned several important aspects of the importance of data structuring in the right way, making sure that we feed the billing system so that we can actually leverage its capabilities properly. I like that. It's very important. But I just want to repeat two things as well. That one specific mention that one point you mentioned was that when we invest and when we think about the technical capabilities, it also depends on our starting point. In fact, most businesses that have been around, of course, they already have a business and they're doing it in a certain way. So you have to dock in and work with the existing, whether we want to call it revenue management system or quote to cash or what we want to call it. You have that, which of course sets the foundation and requirements for when you want to go move into subscription. I think that's a very important salient point you're making, Mauro. Thank you for bringing that up. Now let's talk about data, because you opened that angle up already by talking about working with data in a structured manner, making sure that we have the right quality, we have the right data sets so that we can, for example, use it to inform customers about their usage patterns and help them make choices. I guess my first question to you is, well, I'll start with an observation and then turn that into a question. One of my observations is that in our industry, we seem to be challenged with, first and foremost, maybe expecting too much of the billing system itself. We expect the billing system to do everything, but the billing system necessarily is contingent on the data that is fed into it, which is your point. My question to you is, how have you kind of experienced working with the data side feeding into the billing, and what have been the challenges from your side? What are your learnings?
Yeah, so the first aspect is what you repeated and what you stressed, Pedat. So you need to have structure, data, you need to look after security of the data, and you need to look after the integrity of the data. That's the basic. So the minimum function you need to achieve is to be able to correctly charge your customer timely, accurately. So that's fair enough. But it's not only this aspect, because one of the elements that you need to keep in control is the churn. So acquisition, it's not yet part of your data set, I would say. Let me rephrase. It's not part of the active data. It's part of your target data, your acquisition strategy. Let's put aside for a moment. But when you have your customers in, what your data set has to be able to do is also to understand certain dynamics in order to prevent churn, for instance. I don't like, despite it's part of what you also need to do with the data in a billing system, again, and you need to structure and have your strategy well set up. So you decided to unsubscribe. It's your front end, but powered by something, then it's up to you to decide if you want to put in the billing system or into your CRM or whatever, but it's very much connected. Okay, shall I try to do all my best to keep Vedat anyways, or I should let Vedat go away and offer the best experience? And the point I'm making is that your billing system might be called in action because maybe it's time to offer Vedat a discount or a couple of months free in order to keep in the loop. But I think this is already a too late type of action you might take with data. So to understand is what to keep better, yes or no. But more importantly, your billing system plus your data system have to be able to understand much earlier before that beta decided to unsubscribe that beta is a risk to to unsubscribe. And at that point, your data set have to be able to call in action something to take Beta back and remind Beta that there is value to stay. And that's where I think is the most strategic point, not to have just a billing system that is able to offer you a discount at the time you already decided to go, but to have a component of the billing system or entirely the billing system to be able to look at your data, the usage within your data, and understand there is a low usage ratio. So looking at the MAU, WOW, whatever you want to go, weekly usage, monthly, according to your proposition. But you need to be in control, and the billing system can help you a lot in order to define and not to waste marginality in giving discount where it's far too late. Use your data before the decision is taken to increase the value, keeping the price the same, but justify why I need to be subscribed, not to depreciate the value of the subscription. And this is all back to data, to connect the point, to understand the usage, to understand the, and the usage is needed by the billing system, unless you have a flat fare that you pay an amount per month. But the majority and more, I feel that the direction will be to have a pay-per-use type of subscription more and more. Then data will be the core, not just to issue an invoice, but to maintain your customer base and the experience high. Because at the end of the day, this is part of keeping the experience up.
Just to add to that, when it comes to complexity, we actually had another interesting speaker as well on the podcast a few weeks back. And she was speaking about auditability, transparency, and there is more and more regulation coming to empower the user, whether being a B2B user or B2C, doesn't really matter. Is that we need to make sure that every piece of information about the usage of the product is available, so that we empower the user to be able to take decisions because of the fact that the power has shifted too much to the business that provides. So this is just one more aspect of complexity.
Absolutely. And when you talk about audit, this is something that I took for granted. We are talking about financial aspects. So
yes.
I'm assuming that a company are behaving rightly, and this is not just subscription matters, but you need to be able to basically to be auditable and to have your accounting and your billing documents all well maintained and managed. So I considered that as the entry. So I was not stressing much, but you made absolutely right to remind as well that point.
No, for sure. Some of that is in place. I think the point I wanted to stress is that there's going to be even more regulatory input in terms of making sure that there's transparency of our usage from a company standpoint towards the users, so that we shift the power more towards. So that's going to come more. And that's going to be one more aspect that we need to manage in our, let's call it, our revenue operations for subscription businesses or as a service. But to build on what you said, if I would compare the best in class companies versus the ones that are less good or just laggards, or the ones that figured out how to manage the data in an effective way, because of the complexity of the multiple systems that you've talked about, the multiple ways of offering your service. I mean, it's one thing if you have a flat fee versus if you have a usage, of course, which becomes much more difficult. And the fact that the sheer variation and volume of data then ends up creating inefficiencies and oftentimes quite a lot of manual labor. So the best companies have figured it out to use the right processes, the right tools to make sure that the data is more or less spotless. And that's the way they get the best out from their billing system to, for example, achieve what you stressed, which is, can we know when a customer seemed to be using our service less? And can we then prompt the customer early? And can we see that as a means for churn, for example, to take action, as opposed to acting post-event? One of the other observations I have as well is this is related more to billing transformation, since to some extent we were speaking about it before as well, is that, and I don't know if you've had this experience, I'm going to post it as a statement and follow up with a question in case you had, which is that many times companies are trying to solve for this data aspect that you've talked about by solving it with a billing transformation. And companies end up still just taking on a risky and a complex project, and then ending up with the problem later in the billing project, as opposed to sorting out the data, if I may call data mess or the data question first, and then take on the billing journey. Sometimes it turns out that even the existing billing system might be able to do more. It has more mileage in it if you sort out the data. Is that something that you've experienced?
I can tell you that it's something I agree with you. And this goes back better to the point that you need to know exactly what is your landing page, what is your landing point, don't want to mislead thinking about the front end. So when we're talking about data related to billing, you need to consider your marketing strategy, your duty about what you need to issue. But then you have a lot of regulatory aspects that are different by country, by customer type, and certain aspects. If you are into a multinational organization, you need to consider intercompany, the country you are invoicing to, the country the customers is the customer a B2C, B2B. So are we talking about standard VAT, VS, if it's international, the size of the business, the amount of the yearly invoice that you cumulative are generated to the customer. So all those aspects have to be understood upfront before you make a call, because you could easily go out in the market and subscribe for a billing as a service, a bus system, but then you need to be sure that the one you pick is compliant, because there are brilliant solutions, but they really depends to be very shining on what is your requirements and what is your regulatory requirements that you need to consider. And this is back to your data. Are you structured to do that? And going back to the point you also manage, we are talking about the elements of the billing, but there are many other data that you need to consider in order to feed in the billing that are coming from the sensors that you offer to your customers. The sensor could be in your device, in the apps that you provide to enhance the experience. And if you only think that the billing is a matter to know where you are to send an invoice and the amount I'm charging you every month, you are extremely restricting your mindset. You need to consider the end-to-end, your entire spectrum of data capturing from any single touch point you are having with the customers in order to enhance and elevate the experience you're offering via subscription. And then this could be condensed into a nice invoice, nice looking, accurate and timing, but it's much more than that.
So I want to take the opportunity to come back to Netflix. This is a good timing to do it before we wrap up this section around data management. You might recall that about 2 years ago, if my memory serves me right, Netflix came out with a pretty negative report where they said that 1/3 of their customer base is actually using their services without paying for it. And account sharing was one of the main problems that they had. And Netflix at that point of time had 300 million users, of which 200 were paying 100. Then, of course, that's a significant amount of revenue lost, we can say. And the learning, and we actually made a case write-up about it, is what could be a good way to do it different. But if we just keep it on a high level, is the problem for Netflix, and this is why I wanted to get your pulse on, the problem for Netflix seems to be is that although they are absolutely one of the frontiers of demonstrating how subscription businesses could look like, and we've all enjoyed their services, somewhere along the way, they seem to have lost the concept of understanding the usage of your customers, their rights or entitlements, if you want to call it, and make sure that they can manage that. They just went along. And somewhere along the way came this as a shock. Hmm. What's your take on it? How can a business like Netflix, in your view, end up there, would you say?
When you are in content sharing, this is potential challenge that technology help you to restrict by IP, by network, you are exposed to the risk. So if you are not associated to a device, so the industry I'm from, the subscription was related to print, you need a printer, then honestly speaking, I don't care if you lend the printer to somebody else. But when it's a matter of sharing a password, and then let me in, then the risk goes on a different scale. And let me also say that that report came out after a moment where Netflix had been booming and boosting. So basically, the pandemic generated a peak on content demand. So people tried to access, and they were also, oh, don't worry, I'll give you my username and password. So I think cutting this in short, that Netflix tried to find a way to sort it out by introducing, fair enough, a restriction. So they changed the pricing policy. They now limit it to two persons per subscription, unless you do the family package. So again, here we go back to the importance of the flexibility of your billing system, because you need to handle a sort of issue in a way that impacted your billing system, because you need to be able to differentiate, create two tiers, being able to understand that under an account, now you officially have two different users type. So I think that in the long term, we need to understand, because it's true that Netflix is losing a number of subscribers, but it's also true that it has been very much inflated by the pandemic period, which likely now is getting over. So I think there is not a direct correlation, not always a direct correlation between the new approach and the number of people that who is now unsubscribing. It might simply be that people now are going out rather than watching video on demand. And they are trying to experiment new business models as well. So I think we need to look at the longer term to understand if they are right or not. Because now they're introducing also, again, the multiple tiers, having a subscription with advertising, subscription without. Of course, they needed to fix it, because for them, as you correctly said, was a big potential loss in the revenue, having active customers not paying the subscription. What is the right combination? I don't know. I'm not in the position to say if they are doing right or wrong. What I like is that they are doing. So they took an action, and I'm pretty much sure that if it doesn't work, we will see that they will change the approach. Because that's what I like in the... And I'm pretty much sure I don't have the information, but I'm ready to bet that they are using different approach by different markets. So I'm sure they are piloting, as they always been doing, which is right. They are testing, they are trying to check what would have the most effective response.
We'll make sure to share the case write-up that we did on Netflix and with the show notes so that everybody who wants to can look into it. There is a good opportunity for us to learn from the situation that Netflix Absolutely. Went through, because I don't think that it's in any way unique for their business. Quite the contrary, I think this happens more often than not. It's just that Netflix is a big company. It's quite public. It's in a space that touches many of us. So it became a big public story. But I do see that we have similar challenges with many other companies, actually.
And if you see, Prime Video is doing something very, very similar. Of course, slightly different flavor, but the essence is pretty much the same. They are restricting the possibility, the full freedom we had.
So I'm going to ask you one final question before we start to wrap up. And I can't avoid having a discussion with you without asking, what is your expectation on AI, everybody's favorite buzzword? And the question is specifically, how do you expect AI to play a role when we speak data and billing management?
I think I partially anticipated that. In my view, subscription is the land that if you are in subscription market, particularly in the digital subscription market, you have data. And the challenge is that you need to crunch millions of data. So artificial intelligence in that case come to a fantastic place. Efficiency improvements, but I envisage, I encourage to use artificial intelligence to enhance the experience of your customer base. So I was anticipating the point to anticipate the churn, manage the usage, but there are certain business, particularly in the software as a service, larger scale of customers, that they have the customer success manager profile in the organization. Somebody who really is there to help you to take the best out of your solution in order to keep you hooked to the solution. Artificial intelligence can scale that type of model, success manager, to also the consumer mass market, because you can virtualize, but be sure that you take the best out of your subscription. And if you consider better that we are in a period of inflation, unfortunately, the economic, it's not promising given the crisis around the world. So who is offering subscription related to products might be facing shortage. So I guess there will be issue and friction on pricing. So companies most likely will rise up the price. But if you don't want to lose your customer base, against the price up, there must be an higher perception of the value. And the artificial intelligence can be your best friend in order to be sure that you have somebody talking constantly to your customers in order to remind them why they subscribe, why they're getting the value, why it's best to get subscribed, and why it's best to be subscribed with you. If you use artificial intelligence, given the data you have, the full data spectrum with the talking about, with all your sensor, even virtual, like your mobile app could be, then you can tailor your experience. You can create your custom value proposition for your millions of customers. That's where I see artificial intelligence. If company were mine, is where I would put the money. Would you?
Yeah, I think what you mentioned when it comes to enhancing, that's a great premise to land it on, because I do believe myself that despite a lot of anticipation on AI, it's mostly going to be enhancing what we are doing in one form or shape. Two additional aspects that I see already from my vantage point is predictability is something that at least is something of a challenge when it comes to recurring businesses. It's going to help with predictability. I also definitely see the first question just be operational efficiency. That's, I think, largely what AI is going to help with. Maybe it's not the sexiest of things. We'd like to talk about much sexier things. But in reality, it's operational efficiencies first and foremost. And that's hugely valuable. But I will just stress that AI will not be better than the data that is fed with. So it's actually back to the long discussion we had on billing system and their dependencies on the quality data they need to be fed with. So just want to end on that remark. Mauro, I'm enjoying this conversation, but I want to make sure that I wrap up this with you with two important questions. My first question to you is, what would you wish you knew when you started working with subscription businesses?
Well, I think that the right answer is related to some of the unexpected, that despite that we've been trying to plan everything and to think in advance, let me also tell you something. When we were designing our proposition at that time, we've been surprised by something maybe you heard about, which is called COVID-19. So we have to basically go through a much faster path that we originally planned. So something we really need to learn on the point. But as a matter of fact, my major learning points are not much related to the market itself, but to the organizational readiness. Today, I have much bigger shoulder to understand that one of the most critical factors, it's not in the market, it's in large organizations that have been so successful with traditional business, you might have some internal challenges. So I would, going back, I would have account much more of my time, much more of my senior management attention to internal matters rather than to the proposition itself. Okay. That's, I would say, is something I would like to magician's take, go back.
And where do you expect subscription businesses go in the next 18 months? So keep it a little bit more midterm. What do you expect?
I said I expect a few dynamics. One I anticipated, I see that in terms of ongoing subscription, there is inflation. The economy, it's not necessarily on health. I was reading an interesting research from C++ Search Institute that basically it's related to US, but let's keep in mind the US is 52% of the total on digital subscription worldwide. Anyway, so people at first type are perceiving to only pay around $80 in subscription. And when they better look at that, is in the range of 250. So I think this goes back to the point that company has to pay much more attention to the value they offer in the customers. And I would expect that given the pressure on increasing pricing, the pressure that there might be on product shortage, and then when you have a customer base that you committed to deliver, you need to be careful, it will cost you higher. So I expect that on one end, company will pay much more attention to the experience itself. So more on the value proposition on one end. The second aspect, you mentioned something already, Vedat, and I absolutely back up. So the sexiest part of AI will introduce a new way of things will be subscribed to. So GPT-4, when will be video fully equipped, I'm sure will capture a lot of users. There are a lot of GPTs that are on subscription. I think these will be more and more in our personal portfolio. There will be more subscription related to the AI type of business. And I would say a last trend that is the opposite of this dynamic, despite still connected, I envisage a dynamic which is already quite popular in the US, which is to start using subscription-driven apps to control our subscription plans. So MyBirdie is the one just launched in the UK market. But in the US, one subscriber out of 10 is already managing his or her own subscription portfolio with an app. And interesting, and this will back up my feeling that experience will be the core on the table, is that 30% of American subscribers are planning to renounce to one or more subscription plans they already have. So I expect that the awareness of consumers on what they are subscribed, given that this is up to $250, which is something similar in Europe, is far too much. So consumer aware company have to be very strong in stating their value.
And that's a fantastic note to end on. Thank you very much, Mauro. And thank you all for joining today. We'll, as always, share this podcast episode across on our channel. So make sure that you subscribe and tune in whichever platform that you prefer to use. You can also, if you want to get in touch with myself or Mauro, just reach out to us simplest via LinkedIn. Again, thank you very much, Mauro, for your time.
Great pleasure. Thank you, Vedat, and to all you guys who have been organizing this and for everybody attending as well. Have a great afternoon.